Father God, we are so thankful for your word and that it guides us in our lives. Help us to hear what you want to tell us and to direct us and guide us how you want to apply it. And just help us to have open hearts as well as minds. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Second World War, as Hitler's thirst for power and territory grew, his army began to march across Europe. And in some cases, the fight could hardly be called a battle. The German army advanced with its tanks and advanced technology, advanced weapons. But in some of the underdeveloped nations, the armies were making a futile effort to resist Hitler's aggression, in some cases fighting with nothing more than spears and even rocks. And the British army was unprepared, relying on traditions that they didn't want to change, relying on outdated methods and underestimating the enemy. So in the early years of World War II, it wasn't actually any contest at all, because these nations were not equipped for the battle ahead. The same could be said for Satan and the spiritual battle. Many people don't even know that there's a war going on. Christians should know that we are in the middle of a spiritual struggle, but many seem either not to believe it or are too uncomfortable to talk about it. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, "I am certain that one of the main causes of the ill state of the church today is the fact that the devil is being forgotten. We have become so psychological in our attitude and thinking. We are ignorant of this great objective fact. The being, the existence of the devil, the adversary, the accuser, and his fiery darts. Yet we know evil exists because we see it every day. The global evils of racism, terrorism, the tragic plight of the refugees, terrible events in Syria, starvation, poverty, the destruction of the environment, corrupt governments. And we also face the evils in our own lives when we sin against God." So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 is perhaps the clearest definition of the spiritual war we find written from the letter by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. It not only assures us that there is a spiritual war, but it warns us that if we don't use the weapons of God, which God has provided for us, we are hopelessly ill-equipped for the battle. But Paul makes sure in the letter that the devil isn't given prominence and that everyone is clear. The enemy is Satan, but the victory is in Christ Jesus. Christ has already won the victory for us on the cross, and therefore we shouldn't fear. We also shouldn't have too much fascination with the devil. We leave that to the horror films. But we should be fascinated by Jesus. In the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis writes, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devil. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." When we come to faith in Christ, we receive spiritual blessings. But this doesn't mean that we spend our days in peaceful tranquility, cup half full, never a negative thought or word. Life is just a bed of roses. Well, that's not what my life's like. I don't know about yours. But we do receive a spiritual clarity where we can feel this spiritual struggle between good and evil. In fact, Christian life is often described as being battles and blessings, battles and blessings, battles and blessings. Again and again. And these just don't happen separately. They can overlap. And in the battles, we can face despair and discouragement, doubts, conflicts, illness, financial pressures, and so on. But something to be mindful of is we can't blame spiritual forces for our own poor behaviours. If you are unkind to someone, maybe it's just because you were grouchy that day, you can't necessarily say it's Satan's fault. You can't just say it wasn't me. And also, we can do things foolishly. I have a bit of an example, which... Many years ago, I went to Wembley to watch cup final. Sorry, there's always a football thing in there somewhere. And my team, Manchester United, beat Liverpool. And the following day, I was at a sponsored assault course in Walkup. And I was with a friend, and my friend was talking to a group of people who were, I knew they were all Liverpool fans. And I was still very happy, and I couldn't contain myself, so I went, champions. And one of the group was a lady who was probably four times my size. And she asked me if I wanted to have a fight. Now, if I'd been, you know, the sensible thing would have been to say, oh, I'm really sorry, I've just got a bit carried away. But these words came out of my mouth. Come on then, you bad loser. Thankfully, she didn't take up the challenge and she walked away. That was obviously nothing to do with any spiritual influence, just my own foolishness. Now, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, chained to a guard. So he had this ready-made Roman soldier. And so he could use the armour of the soldier to metaphorically describe the armour of God. I'm looking at the vestry, but there isn't a Roman soldier going to appear out of there. So do just have a short video that we can watch to maybe visualise before we carry on.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
week before last, I was in Snowdonia in Wales doing some walking. And I went into a shop with my face covering, which now just seems normal, you know, money, keys, face covering when you leave the house. But no one else in the shop was wearing a face mask, which seemed I was a little bit taken aback, and then realising I was in Wales, and it obviously can't be the law in Wales except on public transport. So my initial thought was, well, I won't wear it, but then I thought, no, actually, because I do believe that the face coverings are there for our protection of other people and ourselves, and I do believe the advice. So I was the only person in the shop. I thought, I'm wearing it regardless of what the law says in this country. I feel protected. Now, the armour of God is invisible, thankfully, but it is real. And God has given it to us for our spiritual protection. This is a call for us to wake up. Wake up and accept the protection. So the first item is the belt of truth. The belt of the Roman soldier was thick and heavy leather and metal. It gathered his tunic together and also held his sword. And so it ensured that he was unimpeded when he was marching. As he buckled it on, it became a source of hidden strength and confidence. For Christians, it is the belt of truth. The devil doesn't like the truth. He attacks the truth with lies. He wants to make us doubt who we are in Christ, and the thoughts come across as though they are our own. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Everyone else is doing it right and I'm doing it wrong. He deceives us, and this deceit started at the very beginning of the Bible. We need to focus on the truth. We need to be people of integrity and transparency and not be hypocritical where people doubt our motives. And we also need to focus on the truth as revealed in the Bible. In John 14:6, Jesus told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Being people of integrity and knowing God's word are so important that we can resist the attacks of the enemy. The next item is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of a soldier's armour was woven from metal chains, and it covered his heart and his lungs. And so without it, a blow to the chest could be fatal. But with the breastplate, there was strong protection. Righteousness can be something we can get hung up on as to what it actually means. But what righteousness is keeping a right relationship with God through Jesus. How do we keep a right relationship with God? We keep a right relationship with God through prayer, through worship, through being open to God's Holy Spirit, walking in faithful obedience to God. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The next item is the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace. Feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, shoes might not sound so important when it comes to war, but apparently the Roman shoes, I mean, you look and a lot of them just seem to be open toes and they don't look as though they give very much protection. But apparently they had studs on the bottom, a little bit like football boots, and this gave some protection from the mud and all that walking in. So it gave them more of a solid footing. Now, when talking about the shoes of the gospel of peace, Paul may have had a verse from the Old Testament in mind. And this is my favourite verse. in the Bible. It's from Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. The gospel of Jesus is good news. And the devil hates the gospel because it is God's power to change lives. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So we too should be ready to carry this good news, to speak this good news of Jesus Christ into the world. And when we do this, we are building the kingdom of God and taking the battle to the enemy. The next item is the shield of faith. The Roman shields, and as pictured there, the big oblong shield, not the small round ones that you sometimes see, was actually 1.2 metres, not that much shorter from the social distancing we've got in the pews. And this would give some substantial protection for the whole body. The enemy shot arrows that sometimes had cloth-covered tips flaming with fire, as we saw in that film. Paul said, faith quenches the fiery darts of the devil. So our enemy may try to puncture our spiritual strength by tempting us to doubt God. But when we have faith and when we trust in God in difficult times, he is our shield. God is our shield, protecting us against these fiery arrows, such things as false guilt, shame, doubt, disobedience, fear, malice, and so on. The next item is the helmet of salvation. It's probably obvious that soldiers wore helmets to protect them from blows to the head. Now, the battle with Satan, is won or lost in our mind. Satan wants us to doubt Jesus. He wants us to doubt the promise of salvation that we already have through Jesus, through Jesus' saving work for us on the cross. Temptations, immoral thoughts, lies, doubts, or anything that makes us doubt our faith, makes us discourage our faith. If we wear the helmet of salvation, it helps us to focus our minds on God. The next item is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Roman sword was a dual-edged, close-range weapon intended to pierce through heavy metal armour. And Hebrews 4, verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." We need to know how to use God's word properly because it is a powerful tool. And the way we learn how to use God's word properly is reading God's word regularly and understanding God's word regularly. I'm on my third attempt of the Bible in 1 year, the Nicky Gumbel one. The first 2 years, I've miserably failed, and I got so behind that I just wasn't keeping up. But this year, it's nearly the end of August, and I'm on track. And that can be a way of helping, just a daily reading of using some tool like an app or you can get a book of the Bible in 1 year where they split out the days. And there is a saying that a dusty Bible is a rusty sword. The more we know God's word, the better prepared we will be to use it when we are under attack. Jesus used the sword, the word of God, when he was tempted by Satan in the desert. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. So Jesus used the word of God against the devil. So there we are then, the six pieces which together make up the whole armor of God: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel boots, the faith shield, salvation's helmet, and the Spirit's sword, the word of God. This is God's armor for us, for our protection. The Allies landed in Normandy on the 6th of June 1944, marking the end for Hitler, although it would be another 10 months of fighting before war came to an end. These spiritual battles are still raging on, but we must remember that Satan was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. Romans 8, verse 37, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." But we do need to wake up and take action against the spiritual struggles and the attacks that inevitably happen to us as Christians. It's our responsibility to stand firm and to put on the full armor of God every day. And finally, in the final verses in this passage, 18 to 20, the power of prayer encompasses it all. Paul doesn't count it as being part of the armor, but the importance of prayer is throughout. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So that was Paul's prayer. Pray for all kinds of occasions, all kinds of requests. Pray, pray, pray. Amen.